As I stood there, I realized I had no way of proving what I saw. Then I remembered that my phone, which was really more of a handheld computer, had a camera on it. I took a quick picture of the corpses and turned to get the hell out of there. My right foot tripped over something which caused me to lose my balance. I tumbled to the floor and looked back to see what I had fallen on. Holding my heel was a hand whose skin was peeling away in thick fillets. The man shuddered to life, sucking in a deep gasp of air. Dust flew away from him in a storm. His skin gained a bit of color and his head turned towards me. Fear paralyzed my body as the man looked at me. My bladder let go and my shorts soaked in my fear. The man's left eye hung limply upon his cheek. It shook from side to side in the wake of his motion. The man sucked in another desperate gasp of air and looked up at me. He tried to speak, but nothing came out. He lifted his head higher and the skin upon his throat separated. His throat had been slashed from ear to ear. Dust spewed forth in the place of blood long run dry. Spiders and centipedes scrambled to safety after their long slumber had been disturbed. The man let go and held up his finger, as if to show me that he meant me no harm. His hand went to his throat and he tried to speak once more. This time a faint whisper filtered forth. I was barely able to make out the words over my heavy breathing.
So, then, what happened to us?
The man took in deep gasps of air each word he spoke. The act obviously pained the man, so I tried my best to listen to what he was saying. Did Nate do this to you? I whispered to the animated corpse, trying to solve the mystery of the murder. The man nodded twice, each time the skin ripped further, and on the second nod, a molar fell through the hole.
How do I prove it?
I pleaded for some sort of evidence of the cruel act. The man twisted his body and pointed to the far corner of the room. After doing so, his body gave out and he fell back into the original position that he lay in. I scrambled to my feet and rushed over to where the man pointed. In the corner of the room was a massive pile of rubble. Plaster and drywall made a mess, but it didn't matter. Something was underneath it all, and I had to find out what it was. I began to claw through the pile. At the bottom was a camcorder. I picked it up and stuffed it into the pocket of my cargo shorts. I got up to leave and saw the finger that the rat had tried to run off with. Relief washed over me as I realized that I had found a loophole in the situation. I no longer had to defile the corpse's body when nature had done it for me. I threw the finger into my left front pocket. Now that I had the finger, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. I ran out of the room and down the stairs. Once I made it to the main floor, I was full out sprinting. I didn't want to be here longer than I had to. I threw open the door and rushed back to where the psychopathic teenager stood. I had my hands on my knees. I was panting. It was only now that I felt sick to my stomach, which struck me as odd. Nate let out another burst of his maniacal laughter. Then he began to speak.
The pussy wet his pants! It's priceless, man!
He then burst into further hysterics. You are fucking nuts, I told him in between pants. Sweat dripped from my forehead in buckets. I believe you owe me some proof, you little pussy, Nate demanded coldly. The humor had gone out of his voice. I went into my front left pocket and fished out the knot-up finger. I handed it to Nate, who nodded in approval. He picked up my backpack and handed it to me. Then he patted me on the shoulder. In a mock Scottish accent, he said, "That'll do, pig. That'll do." He then burst into another round of hysterics. Once he had calmed down, he picked up his own bag and began to walk down the street. He didn't wait for me, and for that I was grateful. I didn't think he knew what I had found, and I could only hope that I was right about it. I locked the door to my house, dropped my backpack, and ran to my room. Fortunately, my parents didn't get home till around dinner time, so I had a full hour or so to figure out what was on the tape. I sat down at my desk and fished out the camcorder. Trying to watch the video on the camcorder, I flipped open the tiny viewing port. The little screen was smashed into 30 different pieces. The film wasn't going to be able to be viewed this way. As I was about to close the screen, the audio came through. At first the sounds were moans of pleasure and growls of delight, but quickly they changed to sobs and screams of anguish. The video was obviously of the couple's last moments, but there was nothing to implicate Nate in their murder. There was a final scream and a splattering sound. And then, there was nothing. A different voice came through the camera now. Now I lay me down to sleep. There was a cutting and a tearing sound. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I closed the camera and went to grab the phone. I had to call the cops. I walked into the kitchen and wrapped my hand around the cordless phone. I was just about to dial 911 when there came a sharp rapping at the door. Panic rushed through me. Was it Nate? Did he know of the camcorder? I sought out something to defend myself with if it came down to that. I walked over to the butcher's block and grabbed the chopping knife. I brought the phone with me, just in case. If something were to happen, I could just dial 911 and the cops would be here within 10 minutes. I walked to the window and pulled aside the curtain. Nate was standing right there staring back at me with eyes filled with rage. Who was this kid? This cannot be the boy that I grew up with, I thought to myself. I felt the warm flow of piss travel down my leg again. This kid scared the living fuck out of me. Give me the tape, Fred. His voice was calm, but the danger rang clear. I stared back at him and played dumb. Jesus Christ, Nate, you scared the living shit out of me. What are you doing here? I was surprised at how my voice sounded. It came out with a more startled tone than that of being afraid. Give me the fucking tape! The last two words came out as a yell. Without looking, I pressed the green talk button and called the cops. I don't know what you're talking about, Nate. I was acting, obviously, trying to convince him that I didn't know anything about the camcorder. Meanwhile, a tiny voice spoke out from the cordless phone.
Sherman Falls Police Department, what is your emergency?
The voice sounded far away, but I knew they could hear me. I had my eyes locked on Nate's. His face was now turning red with rage. Something bad was on the verge of happening. I could just sense it.
Hello? Sir?
The dispatcher called out, trying to talk to me. Nate's rage got the best of him, and his fist came flying through the window. What the fuck, Nate? I shouted in mock confusion.
Sir, we are sending a squad car to your position. Please stand by.
The dispatcher then called out some letters and numbers, followed by my address. That was all I needed to hear. God damn it, give me the fucking camcorder! He bellowed, trying to grasp at me. Dropping the phone, I stepped away. Nate stepped forward, shoving his arm deeper into the hole. He realized that he couldn't grab me, so he stepped back and headbutted the window. It shattered, slicing into his head and arm in several different places. My eyes went wide with fear as he began to hoist himself through the shattered window. I blinked several times before I realized that he was coming after me. Nate was nearly all the way through the window when I took a step back. His head was towards the floor, his hands bracing his weight. I took another step backwards and loaded up, just like I had practiced for kicking a field goal. I ran forward and kicked Nate's head as hard as I could. When my foot connected, I heard a loud crunch. The pain I felt was immense, yet I knew that if I gave Nate the chance, he would cut me from ear to ear, just like he had done to that couple. From the impact of my foot, Nate's head catapulted forward. His nose shattered, and his body fell through the window. For a few seconds, he lay motionless. His eyes would squeeze shut and then shoot open. It was almost as if they were spring-loaded. I had to take advantage of this confusion. I went to kick him again, but he moved quickly. His hand went out to grab my foot. With a swift 90-degree jerk, the bone in my ankle snapped. The knife dropped from my hand, and I screamed louder than I ever had. I rolled away from him and heard a ringing. At first, I thought it was a reaction to the pain, but quickly I realized that it was the police. They're near. I just have to last a little bit longer, I thought. I reached out and grabbed for the knife. It wasn't there. I looked at where my hand was. The knife was gone. But that was impossible. It had been laying there just a second before. My mind raced as I looked around for the knife. I found it, or more aptly put, it found me. Nate picked it up and buried the knife into my splayed hand. After he did so, he rolled over and began to drift in and out of consciousness. His breaths were nothing but ragged gasps. I took my other hand and wrapped it around the hilt of the blade. I pulled, feeling the knife slice through more of my flesh. It wouldn't budge. I began to wriggle the knife back and forth. Each motion caused the wound to grow in size and the blood flow to increase. A few times, the blood even splattered against the wall. After a few tries, I finally got the knife out. The ringing was louder now, and I could hear the car door slam. Vaguely, in the back of my head, I heard a voice say, "Thank God the cops are here." It was a thought that I never expected to have. Part of me just wanted to go to sleep, and I couldn't let that happen. Not when Nate was staggering to his feet, getting ready to attack again. Nate took a step towards me and the police kicked in the door. They shouted, "Please, freeze!" Of course, when Nate didn't freeze, they shot him twice. He staggered back a step and then fell forward. He landed right on top of me. He coughed blood into my face and then rolled off of me. A knife was buried up to the hilt in his chest. It was over. Epilogue. I was rushed to the hospital and treated for my wounds. I lost some range of motion in my hand, but I'm just glad to have it still attached to my body. I paused to clear my throat. I made you a promise, and I kept it. I gave the tape to the cops, and they found you two where you lay. I know this isn't much, but it's still better than what you had before. I just hope you can finally rest in peace. I'll be back next week with more flowers, I said, flexing my injured hand. I turned and walked away from the two tombstones. Each weekend from then on, I placed a bouquet of roses between them, just to remind them that someone remembers.